Jeanette and I were discussing that hymn today over the phone, and you know, it all so clearly speaks of Christ, who is Emmanuel, God with us. But his name is not in that hymn, is it? And we were talking, you know, the chorus says, "Oh, come, Emmanuel." He did. He has come. And we were talking how that we wonder if maybe if the Jews sing that song. I'd be very curious to know if they sung that hymn. It certainly has a kind of a Hebrew sound to it, doesn't it? Like, "Oh God, God of Abraham, praise," has a... I don't know. If they do, boy, their minds are blinded if they don't see Christ in that. Jeremiah 29. This, as is written, are the words of a letter that Jeremiah, the prophet, sent to the people, some of the people who were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, taken to Babylon. All of them eventually will be taken. And he'll destroy the temple. And I don't want you to be caught up with all of these historical things. Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuchadrezzar are the same person. Okay? That confused you. It's the same person, just spelled different. But don't be so much taken up with all these things as the gospel story here. That's why this is written. All these things are written for our learning. And now this was God's word to the prophet Jeremiah, to God's people. Bless the Lord. Look at verse 1. He says, "These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders, carried away captives, the priests, prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away." Verse 4. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem." Now, this is God's word to God's people. Bless the Lord for his word. Where would we be without God's word? We live in Babylon. You know that? We're right in here. That's what the Revelation talks about. The church is right where Satan's seat is, right in the middle of a land, a world that's held captive by a powerful foe. Bless the Lord for his word. Where would we be? We'd be in darkness as others. Isaiah 8 says, "They look to the world and all its dimness and darkness and anguish of spirit and vexation, and they're troubled." Mm. We have hope, no one. We're not in darkness as others. We're not in despair. Cast down, but not in despair. We're not without hope. People are without hope, without God, without Christ in this world. Not us. People have no light, have no understanding. We're not us. The entrance of his word gives light. The Son of God, we know the Son of God has come and given us an understanding. We're in him. We're in Babylon, but we're in him. I want to show us how that we, although we live in a land of captivity, and we feel somewhat captive, we're not. The Son has made us free. I want us to see that. Rejoice. You know, that's, we sang that hymn, and the disciples on the road to Emmaus, remember, that's why we started preaching all these. And they said, "We trusted that he would redeem Israel." He did. They didn't know it. But it wasn't Israel the nation. Mm-hmm. He didn't come to redeem everybody. But he came to redeem a remnant according to the election of grace. And he did. He did just that. And he, after he finally revealed himself, then their understanding, their eyes were opened. So this story here is not a story of Jewish history, but it's his story. Our Lord came to deliver captive Israel. Oh, we'd be without hope, we'd be without light, without understanding, we'd have no peace in this world, we'd be trusting and hoping in vanity, we'd be hoping and trusting in man like everybody else right now. And that's a vain hope. In Psalm 147, it says this, again, I was reading through the Psalms and came to this, almost the last, one of the last Psalms, it says, after all the Lord did for Israel, God's people, the last thing he says, he showed his word to Jacob. He hath not dealt so with any nation. They have not known his word. Praise the Lord. So we're not in darkness, not without hope in this word. We're in it, not of it. We're not bound by it, thank God. God has sent his word through the prophets. Our Lord sent prophets and apostles and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. And that's God's word through his preachers. All right, now, these were people, as said, in captivity. They were taken to Babylon. Look at verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem. It says in verse 7, seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. Verse 14, I'm going to bring you again to the place from whence I caused you to be carried away captive. It was the Lord that did this, you see. God's book, the Bible, Biblia book, is God's word to God's people. It's not to the world. We're going to look at false prophets briefly tonight. And this is one way you know false prophets. They apply the word of God to everybody. That's lying on God and lying to people. God didn't say this to everybody. It's to God's people. And from Genesis, from Joseph to Malachi, God's people were in some kind of bondage, weren't they? All through the Old Testament. They were either in bondage or getting ready to go back into bondage. And all the prophets prophesied of this. All of them, every one of them, every single prophet, major and minor, prophesied that you're either going to go into bondage, God's going to bring you out, or they were in bondage. Daniel was in bondage with them. Ezekiel, he was there in bondage with them. When they were brought back to build the temple, Ezra and Nehemiah, then they were helped by Haggai and Zechariah. The people were helped by the prophet. They actually helped them build the walls and then were preaching to them the whole time. Gave them comfort. And if God's people know, Israel, the Lord told them through the prophets why they were in captivity. Because of sin. Because of unbelief. Because of idolatry. All right? Go back to 1 Kings 12. Let's see where this all started. And I told you years ago that we need to read Jeremiah maybe every year. Because it's so relevant. It's just so applicable to right now in Jeremiah. Now, Israel, they were supposed to be God's people. And yet they sinned against the Lord. And idolatry. And they mixed and they mingled with the people of the world. And before long, they were just like them. And so God sent adversaries. And took them captive. And it started right after Solomon. And the Lord split the kingdom, remember? There's a man named Jeroboam. Look at verse 25. 1 Kings 12, 25. There's a man named Jeroboam. He was not a son of David. He was a servant. He was not a son of David. But God put him in there as king over Israel. And he was a wicked man. He didn't know the Lord. But God did this because of Israel's idolatry. Okay. All right, and look what he did. This is where it all started. Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein. In verse 26, he said, "The kingdom will return to the house of David. This people go up to sacrifice in the house of the Lord, the temple at Jerusalem. The heart of the people will turn to their Lord, to the king of Judah. They'll kill me." They go back to the king of Judah. So he said, I'm going to make it convenient for them. I'm going to just set up a couple of calves wherever it's close and convenient and tell them that, no, you don't have to go to one place and worship the Lord one way. It's not that narrow. I'm going to make it convenient. And you don't have to go to that one place. It's not one way, not one truth, not one place. He set up two calves, verse 28. It says, too much to go to Jerusalem. Here are your gods. Set one in Bethel and one in Dan, convenient places. And it became sin. And verse 31, look at this. He made a house of the high places and made priests of the lowest of the people that weren't Levites. He made priests. And look at verse 33 offered on that. No, chapter 13. Go over to chapter 13, verse 33. Here it is. It says, he made priests of the lowest of the people. Low down, no good priests that were not Levite. They weren't called. Verse 33. After this thing, verse chapter 13, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way. He made again. See, a prophet had just denounced him, but he didn't listen. And it says he made the lowest of the people priests. Whoever would, whosoever wanted to be a priest, he let them be. And so the place was full of these false priests. And they weren't worshiping at the temple with the sacrifice and one high priest. No. And that's where it all started. And if you keep reading, it says over in chapter 25, it says all the people feared God, said they did, but worshipped idols. It was mingled. It was a mess. It got to be a mess. And God sent adversaries and took them captive. And Jeremiah and all the prophets, and the land was filled with false prophets, filled with them, filled with false prophets. And Jeremiah and all the prophets warned the people about these false prophets. That's what a good shepherd does. He warns the people of wolves. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. Look back at our text. It says in verse 8, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you. Verse 15, they said, the Lord has raised us up prophets in Babylon. There's prophets here too. They said, no, there weren't either. All God's prophets came from Israel. They were God's men. There were no true prophets in Babylon until God sent Daniel and sent those men there to preach to them. But these people said, oh, there's some prophets here too. No, they're not. These were man-made prophets. So Jeremiah said, don't listen to them. And you know how many times Jeremiah warned throughout Jeremiah? Chapter 23. He said, don't listen to them. He said, this is what they say. They say, the Lord has said you have peace. It says, they say unto them that hate me. God says, they say unto them that despise me, the Lord, you have peace. No evil shall befall you. God loves you. That sound familiar? And Jeremiah, over and over and over again, and Isaiah and Ezekiel, and name a prophet that didn't constantly cry out against all the false prophets. And when of that prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ came. Oh, the land was full of them. They were everywhere. And our Lord said that. He said, many false prophets in Christ are arrayed. And he was surrounded by them, and he denounced them all, didn't he? He said, beware of these scribes, these Pharisees, these hypocrites. They're hypocrites. John said, they're snakes. Oh, you shouldn't say that. Sheep need to be warned, don't they? I knew a man and his wife that they attended a place where I know the preacher well. And he's a fine, wonderful, gracious preacher. I love dearly. And they got put out with him for constantly decrying or denouncing false prophets. And they told him. They're critical of him for denouncing false prophets, the man and his wife. Well, they moved to another place. And I know the pastor there, fine preacher of the gospel. And they criticized him for doing it. And they left there eventually. Now, who doesn't want to hear false prophets denounced? The sheep need to. I guess you've got to be a wolf in sheep's clothing if you don't want to hear it. We need to know, don't we? We sure do. Our Lord did. He warned. Brethren, we are in Babylon. Never has a generation fit the description of Babylon like it does now. We're in Babylon. This land is full of idolatry and full of false prophets. And let me just say this. Let me say these things. Let me tell you the difference between the false and the true, okay? The true and the false. And you know these things. Paul said to the Thessalonians, see, and you know these things. I'm going to tell you anyway. Just confirm to you, okay? Here's the truth. And here's true preachers as opposed to the lie that's being told. False prophet. Here's the truth. God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. Above all else, God is holy. 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 Religion says God is one thing. Love. That's it. Right? All right. The truth is, God will by no means clear the guilty. God will punish sin. God is angry with the wicked every day. Not was. Is. False religion says that's not true. God is not mad at you. There is no sin anyway. God loves everybody and everybody and everything just like they are. Isn't that what religion said? Here's the truth. Man is evil by nature. Man is sinful, evil, wicked, depraved, dead in trespassing and sin. He's dead. False religion says man is basically good. All right? He's a God. He created the image of God, and you just need to pull it out of him. Just give him a chance, and it'll come out. The truth is, salvation is of the Lord. 100%. It's all of the Lord. Religion says it's up to man. So God's done all he can do, now it's up to you. Right? Across the board. Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, you name it. Catholic, all say it. God's done all he can do. Jesus made a payment, and you must make it effectual by accepting it. That is a lie out of hell. Anybody that says that is a false prophet. I don't care how sweet they may sound. I don't care what they may say that sounds like the truth. If they say God loves everybody without exception, and Jesus Christ died for everybody without exception, and the blood of Christ did not put away God's people's sin, and God didn't choose a people, that's a lie. It's lying on God's word. Against God's word. Here's the truth. God in sovereign love, God chose whom he would love. There's nobody worth loving.
That's right.
No, but religion says everybody deserves a chance. Everybody's basically good and lovely, and you know, God loves everybody. Shouldn't we? No, God in sovereign love chose some of these despicable creatures. Set his love on them. Nothing hitting them to love, but he just said, I love them freely. Without any contribution from them. Sovereign love, sovereign mercy. He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Not of him that willeth or him that runneth, it's of God that showeth mercy. Right? Any deviation from this, that person is a false prophet. Right? Brother Scott Richardson once said that rat poison is 99% good food. It's the 1% that'll kill you. That little bit of man's choice, man's will, little bit of error, a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. A little bit of man's work ruins it. That means that salvation is not of the Lord. That means it's a cooperative effort. Man's dead. Ezekiel said, the Lord told Ezekiel, didn't he? Let's go out here to this valley of dry bones, Ezekiel. He taught Ezekiel, didn't he? Now, what are they? Is it, they're dead. Are they really dead? Really dead. They're dry as dead, dead as dead. Grave, Barnard used to say, graveyard dead. Stinking dead. That's why he let Lazarus stay in the tomb for 4 days, didn't he? Everybody knew. He's dead, dead. Stinking dead. Well, how's he going to live? Christ's not going to offer him life. He's going to call him from death unto life. And somebody said, if Christ hadn't called him by name, everybody in that graveyard would have come out. Now, people, this is a fact. We're not condemning people just to be condemning people. The glory of God's at stake here. The truth is at stake. Your salvation's at stake. If salvation depends any at all on us, we're goners. All right? Salvation by the sovereign love, mercy, and grace of sovereign grace. Grace is not an offer, it's an act. It's something God does to us, for us, through Christ. One mediator between God and man, the man. Christ Jesus. One man, his name is Jesus Christ. No other saint, and certainly not Mary. Anybody prays to her is lost. Boy, you wouldn't dare stand up and say that today, would you? Well, a true preacher will. Jeremiah, they hated Jeremiah. They put him in prison. One time, they put ropes around him and lowered him down in a dungeon in the muck and the mire. Said he sunk in the mire. He was lying in filth, excrement. Why? For telling the truth. And everything he said happened. He's trying to warn the people. It was mercy, wasn't it, that he was telling the truth. We don't like that. We won't hear it. All right, then you're going to be taken captive and destroyed. God chose and elected a people before the foundation of the world and made a covenant to save those people and purposed, it's ordered in all things and sure, and nothing can change that. That's salvation. But no. Religion says that you can write your name in the book or you can take it out. It's all up to you now. It's all up to you. That God Almighty put all of salvation in the hands of one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And God, anybody that's saved on planet Earth is saved by Jesus Christ. Nobody's going to get to God but by Jesus Christ. Now, stand up and tell the world that. Tell the Muslim, tell the Buddhist, tell the Hindus, tell the Jews, tell them all that. Tell them what's going to happen to you. They're going to hate you. And they killed every single prophet for saying this stuff. They did. They know. And you know that false prophet Billy Graham said that very thing, didn't you? You saw it. You heard it with your own ears one night in here. I played the tape for you, how he said, I believe God's merciful to everyone, and even people who never heard the name of Jesus, they're going to be saved. That's what he said. And he's calling Jesus Christ a liar. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And they killed him for saying that, didn't they? It's true. But back then there was a remnant. Back in that Jeremiah's day, there was a remnant like there is now. They're called the remnant. They're called the residue. The offscour. Those are escaped of the nations. And they worship God in the Spirit. They rejoice in Christ Jesus. They have no confidence in the flesh, anything. Many are called, but the few are chosen. That's the truth. And bless God. If those of you who were amening to all of that, bless the Lord. You know how few people believe the truth. And we not only believe, we love it, don't we? Let such as love God's salvation say, the Lord be magnified. We love His salvation. All right. So these were words to God's chosen few living in Babylon. That's where we are. The word of the Lord. And He tells us what to do while we're in Babylon. Didn't He? He told them what to do while in captivity. Look at it. Back to Jeremiah 29, verse 5. And you know, the Lord has put us here. We live in this world. We're not of it. The Jews were in Babylon. They weren't Babylonians. Were they? They were there. The Lord put them there. What were they to do? What are we to do? Now look at it. Verse 5. Build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat the fruit thereof, take wives, and wives for your sons and daughters, and husbands for your daughters. And verse 7, seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captive. Pray unto the Lord for it. The peace, if there's peace there, you'll have peace. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes tells God's people to live in this world and enjoy it. God has given us all things richly to enjoy, right? There's nothing wrong with, and it's everything right with, building houses and planting garden and eating the fruit thereof and all of that. Right? God made it up. God made a garden. God built us a house. And take wives and marry seek the peace thereof. Now, Paul told us in 2 Timothy 2, he said, pray for all men everywhere, kings and all in authority. Well, God will have all men be saved. That is, all sorts of kings, or men, high and low, kings. And I believe maybe the Lord saved Nebuchadnezzar. Don't we think that, don't we, Melanie? It sure appears that He did. But what about Osiris? Cyrus said, I make a decree. We're going to rebuild this temple. He sent Daniel with these men to Jerusalem, rebuild it. Whoever wants to go, he said, go. I'll pay for it. And who put that in his heart? God did. So He said, pray. But look at this in a spiritual way. While we're here in this captivity, build houses. Build houses. Now, unless the Lord build a house, we labor in vain that build it. God's house. We're to support God's house. You know, that's primarily the reason we have jobs, to make money. To support the preaching of the gospel. You know that? Not for ourselves. Dwell in them. David said, oh, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Well, build one. And dwell there. And like Rahab, don't leave till Joshua comes to get you. Don't get out of the house where the blood is. Marry. You know, Paul said this. He said, you're free to marry in the Lord. These people were not to marry Babylonians. That's how it all started. Solomon. Right? That's where the trouble started. They were to marry among themselves, God's people. But and marriage is of the Lord, only in the Lord. But we're married to another. Paul said, it's going to come a time. The time is now, is soon, that they that be married, they that have wives, be as though they had none. If any man love father, mother, husband, and wife more than me, not my son. We need to realize we're married to our Lord. Okay? And we live for His honor and glory. Verse 7, seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captive. Pray unto the Lord. Pray. Pray. Seek the peace of that city. And down in verse 13, he says, you'll seek me and find me. That's what we're to do while we're here. Seek the Lord. Seek His will. Seek His way. Seek His word. Now, I'll be found of you. I'll turn away your captivity. But David said in Psalm 122, don't you love this psalm? He said, sing it to you. He said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper and love thee. What Jerusalem is he talking about? Church. Peace be within thy walls. Oh, the fruit of peace is sown in them that make peace. Fruit of righteousness sown in them that make peace. Peace be within thy walls. Prosperity within thy palaces. This is Psalm 122. For my brethren, my companions' sake, David said, I'm a companion of them that fear thee. These are my brothers and my sisters. I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Pray for the church. This is God's house, God's family, God's wife, God's children. Pray for the peace of it. In this peace, you'll find peace. All right, back to our text. Now, let's look at this expected end. These are the verses I gave you. This is the final word from Jeremiah, from our Lord through him. Verse 10, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, after all the world, after all is accomplished in Babylon. Does that sound familiar? Peter wrote to the church, he said, now, know this, that all the trials and all the afflictions you're going through, the same thing are accomplished in your brethren throughout the world. They're going through the same thing. Every one of them, everywhere. Every one of them live in the world. And they feel just in bondage. They feel, you know, the world is bound by Satan, held captive at his will. Our Lord came to lead captivity captive. Who's he talking about? Us. So stronger than he came on Calvary's tree and broke that power of Satan that he had over us. And we see Christ through the gospel, see him crucified for us, breaks our will, breaks our heart, breaks us, and we look to Christ and see what he did for us on Calvary's tree. And now we're his captives. We're held captive to him. It's a good kind of captive. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. He said, follow me. And he delivers us from being under the law. Captive to the law. Like old Boaz told Ruth, there's somebody I got to face for you. Somebody has a hold on you. I've got to take his shoe off. I got to walk in his shoes. According to love. And he did. And Christ did that for his people. Purchased our redemption and set us free from the law. And you know, Paul was the one, he was under that bondage. He was in that captivity under the law. And he told all his Jewish brethren, he kept calling them brethren, Pharisee. That's why he had so much patience and compassion with Pharisee, because he was one. He said, you don't understand. You desire to be under the law. You don't hear it. It's nothing but bondage. Paul said, I was alive without the law once. I thought I was righteous, but it slew me. It killed me. But now I realize I'm not under the law. Oh, happy. Free from the law. Oh, happy condition. The Jews said to Christ, He said, we'd be Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to anybody. Are you kidding? They were right then in bondage to Rome. Scared to death of Herod. In his pocket. Yeah. And people all over the world, we're not in bondage. Mankind, we're not in bondage. I'm free. That's what I thought when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s. I'm free. You're doing exactly what everybody else does. And what the God of this world holds you captive to. And Christ came through the preaching of the gospel, like Jeremiah, the prophet, came through the preaching of the gospel and made you free. He said, sin shall not have dominion over you. Oh, it's going to harass you. It's going to bombard you. Satan's going to go after you as never before. But he can't have you. I only let him do what I let him do. You're not under his captivity. You're not held by him at his will. You're held by me at my will, Christ said. You're not under the law. You're under grace now. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not married to the law. You're married to me. And I satisfy the law. Free. Oh, but I feel like I'm in bondage. Well, it just hang on. Wait. You'll see. He's coming for us. Bring us out. Every one of these said 70 years. 70 years. Hang on. How long do we live in this world? About 70 years. Some of you beyond that. Oh my. And you're thinking, when's he coming? Just hang on. Hang on. Real soon now. He said, I will visit you. Verse 10. I will perform my good word toward you. I will do what I say. What I said. I've spoken it. I'll do it. I purposed it. I'll bring it to pass. Yes, I will. I'm going to cause you to return. I'm going to take you to the promised land. Yes, I am. That's what Paul said. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. The Lord shall perfect that which concerneth us. Brother John read in the psalm tonight. Verse 11, he says, for I know the thoughts I think toward you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. You know, all things work together for good. God's been all things. He said in Psalm 91, no evil shall befall you. He said, I know the thoughts I think toward my children. What are your thoughts toward your loved one? What are your thoughts toward your husband, toward your wife? What are your thoughts toward your children? What are your thoughts toward your grandchildren? You have to get them. You have to keep them. You have to save them. You have thoughts, don't you, Deborah? You have thoughts, those beloved children, just thoughts of what? Peace. You want peace for them, don't you? How much more? You know what it said? How much more? I know my thoughts towards you. Yeah, but you're what? But I'm sinful. Every single one of these people. Find me one that's not a sinner. Find me an Israelite that wasn't a sinner. A son of Jacob. Find me one. That's who he's talking to. It's a faithful saying. He came to save sinners. Even the chief, Paul said. I'm a chief. I know my thoughts of you, thoughts of peace. God is, I can say this to God's people. I can't say it to the world, but I can say it to God's people. God is not angry with you. I can say this to God's people. Like Noah, he stood up in that ark one day, you know, and it's rocking and reeling and thunder and lightning, and they're scared to death. And Noah stood up one day in that ark holding on. He said, smile! God loves you. but what? You see that pitch? You remember what he said? Thoughts of peace, not of evil. to give you an expected end. David said, you mark it down. Psalm 37. Write it down, because God said it. The perfect man, you mark the perfect man. The end of that man is peace. Now, are you perfect? Are you? Hold on now. Hold on now. You know, Christ is able to present us faultless before the presence of the Father. Perfect. Undefiled before the presence. He's the only one that can. He has. He is. In Him. We're complete in Him. He's perfect in Him. We're in Him. And we're complete in Him. And so you mark it down. The one who trusts Christ, who looks to Christ, can expect to be in glory someday. The Lord expects it. He expects it. It's expected in. The Lord expects it. Everyone He died for, He expects them to be there. He's going to stand up and say, all the, here, behold, I and the children that Thou hast given. Every single person Christ died for, every single person given to Him by the Father will come to Him, and He'll raise them up in the last day. Every single one who looks to Christ, who believes Christ, who sees the Son, sees their need of Him, believes on Him, He said, I will raise him up to last day. He expects it, and you can expect it too. That's not presumption. That's not taking it for granted. That's taking God at His word. You hear me? That's faith that honors God. Lord, you said it. You said, he that trusts, he that believes on the Son hath life. I believe. Help my unbelief. You said, Lord, and none of them that trust in Him will be left out, be destitute. You said that. You said it. I expect it in. The end's good. The end's good. And He goes on to say, and you'll call on me when you call. You pray unto me, I will hearken you. I'll hear you. He might not answer you immediately, but He hears you. He said, you'll seek me. You will seek me. Why? Because He said, seek my face. and you'll search for me with all your heart, you see, out of the heart of the issues of life. God's people are not playing games. God's people don't just go to church. They are the church. They come to worship. That's what God's people do. They go to worship the Lord. And He said, "And with all your heart, and I will be found of you. And I will turn away your captivity. One of these days, it's all going to be over. And I'll gather you from all nations, from all places I've driven you. I'll bring you into the place, into the promised land. I promise. God promised. He had His word on it. And I was going to take you to... I had verses in chapter 30, chapter 31, chapter 32, chapter 33. Read it for yourself. It doesn't get any better. Read it for yourself. Talks about the Lord, fear not. Songs we sing are all there in Jeremiah. You know, I love old country sayings. I like country people and southern people. I like Yankees that move south. But I like old country southern sayings. A lot of them come from the Bible, you know. And country and southern people say, you reckon it'll turn out all right? You reckon? Where'd they get that? Paul said in Romans 6, reckon yourselves dead, crucified with Christ. Reckon it to be so. You reckon it so? I reckon. Well, you reckon it'll end okay? I expect so. That's where that came from. Expect. I expect it to be so. I expect so. Why? Because God promised it cannot last. Cannot last. Okay, stand with me.